Exodus 15, and this theme of the year has been, "Be holy, for I am holy." And we've been touching on this topic of holiness over the last several weeks. So this is going to be the last time for this year as a way of conclusion of our theme of this year of holiness. And we've been looking at this, and I don't think we can look at it too much because I think we have to understand what holiness means and how holy God is. When we see a fresh view of how holy God is, and we get a hold of the attribute of God, and along with His love for mankind, I think it's an amazing picture to see. He who is high and lifted up could love us so much. It brings great clarity, and it brings great amazement, and also should bring great praise to God for His love for us. Amen. The question comes to us this morning, when we're cognizant of His great holiness, how do we approach God properly? Is there a right and a wrong way to approach God? And there is a right way to approach God, and there is a wrong way. Can I say there's a lot of the wrong way going around in our world today and having an improper view of the holiness of God, an improper view of God. However, we must balance that He is so high and lifted up that He does not want anything to do with us. We cannot have that view of God, because if you look at the Scriptures, God wants everything to do with us. He wants to have a relationship with us. So how do we bring the two into agreement? I'm so glad the Word of God has that instruction for us this morning. But we're going to start off in Exodus 15 and verse number 11, and a statement, a short verse, that gives us a picture of who God is. Let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God out of respect for Him. And a question: Who is like unto Thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like Thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? What a wonderful verse, and a question that I believe we can answer this morning. How wonderfully holy God is, how loving He is, and how we can know how to worship Him properly. And there's great freedom in that. We think today that there's a lot said about, well, we have to approach God in a specific way, in a holy way. Well, we have more freedom today. We're under grace. Well, yes, we're under grace by the holiness of God, and in that grace, we still need to understand and acknowledge His holiness. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing this morning. Dearly Father, we thank You that we could be here today. I pray that You give me clarity of thought this morning, and Lord, that we will grab a hold of these truths. They will change our thinking, Lord. And I pray, dear Lord, maybe there's a refresher here for some of us. I pray, Lord, that we never ever get over how holy You are and how loving You are to us and how powerful You are and how high and lifted up You are, Lord. I pray this morning that as we take this time that we would be instructed, Lord, in how to approach You in the proper worshipful way. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Approaching our holy God. He is holy. But first we must understand, number one this morning, understanding who God is, understanding His holiness. We've gone over this at length a few times over the last couple of weeks, so I'm not going to spend a long time here, but I think as a refresher, we need to understand that God is holy. He's mighty. He's powerful beyond all imagination and comprehension. We see this in Isaiah 6, high and lifted up. God is limitless and eternal. In Deuteronomy 33:7, calls Him the eternal God. And we see in this question in Exodus 15:11, who is like unto Thee, O Lord? And the answer is no one. There's no one like God. There's no one more powerful than God. There's no one more holy than God. There is no one who is omnipotent like God is. Aren't you glad of that? When we're worshiping Jehovah God, He is the top. There is none greater than He. And He is the one that wants a relationship with us. When we get a hold of the holiness of God, we get a hold of the eternality of God. And who God is, why He would want to have a relationship with us, is beyond our even comprehension. But yet He does. The truth remains. He does. In order to know how to approach someone, we must know something about them, right? If you go to a particular approach and authority or something, you must know something about the position they hold. If you go to different kings or rulers around the world, they maybe have a custom that you're not aware of in order to approach them. I remember that when we're on our mission trip in Africa, that we're meeting a regional king there, and we had to make sure that we observe certain things there, especially don't speak unless you're spoken to, those type of things, and make sure that we're approaching that person with respect. And when we're approaching God, I hope that we have this idea that we must approach Him with respect. Now, I'm not talking about empty rituals, okay? We can look at ritualistic approaches to God that we must, you know, say a certain number of Hail Marys before we come to God. That's not what I'm talking about. However, when we do come to God, we better understand who God is. And not bring God down to our level, which is very popular today. To bring the holiness of God down, the power of God down, that God is our buddy. God is not our buddy. He is our God. Amen. He is our creator. He is all power and omnipotent. And we must not ever bring Him down. Well, you know, we're best buds with God. That is not how we're to approach Him. But let's look at holiness. Of course, we've been looking at holiness last couple of weeks. So I'm just going to define it quickly for you. Purity of integrity, of moral character. Freedom from sin. And applied to the supreme being, who being God. Holiness denotes perfect purity or integrity of moral character. And it's one of His essential attributes. So God is perfect. God is not sinful. God is perfectly pure. Perfect in every way. Everything that God does is perfect. Everything that God creates is perfect. Everything that God has planned is perfect. He has a perfect plan. It is man who has messed it up. We have made mistakes with sin. And anything that is wrong in this world is because of sin. It's not because of God. God's plan did not include sin. Contrary to other religions, especially Mormonism, that teach, well, God planned for man to sin. I'm sorry, that is not the truth. God never planned for man to sin. He planned for man to obey, but man chose to disobey. God gave man a choice. Yeah, so we can get into this discussion that, well, did God know that man was going to sin? Absolutely, He's God. However, He gave the choice, and the plan was no sinning. So we must understand that about God. Also, purity that is so high that God cannot look upon sin. Habakkuk 1:13 says this, "Thou art a purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity." This is how pure God is. This is how God views sin. It kindles the anger of God to see mankind in sin and depravity. And what do we see in our cultures today around the world? Just flaunting our sin in the face of God. We have Pride Month here in the United States, and we have the, and around the world, really, it's become a worldwide thing, except in Muslim countries. you go around the world, you see that is just a sin that destroys the creation of God, that destroys the genders and the roles that God has given and that God has made, and flaunts it that, well, I don't like how you made me, God. I can make my own self in my own image. That's what all Pride Month is about. By the way, we have a lot of these things about, you know, there's no difference between the genders, you know. They hear people say, well, there's no difference, you know, when children are infants, right? There's no difference between boys and girls when they're babies. That is such a lie. I'm sorry, I'm already learning that Abigail is much different than my four boys. She cries different. And there's just something about her. She can exude emotions that boys can't do, right? She gets the little pushy lip when she cries, okay? You know, I understand my other children have that. It's just different, a different personality. You know, all four of my boys, they love to sleep in the crib from birth. This one doesn't. She wants to be held. She wants to be right here. She wants to be attached to somebody. Girls are different. Everybody's told me that. Trust me, I'm getting a dose. I know about that. But to say, well, our world says there's no difference between men and women, that is such a lie. God made them different. God, and I'm glad they did. I don't want to marry someone like me. Man, amen. I don't, you know, marry someone like yourself. I don't want to marry me. I want to marry something better. And I married something far better, someone far better, my wonderful Bethany. And Abigail, by the way, means my father's joy. So then her middle name's Joy. So she's double joy for her father and mother. So it's exciting. I had to bring it in there. I know. You know me. I had to bring it in there. But here we go. But because of His holiness, God separates Himself from sin. And because God's holiness because of God's holiness, man is separated from God because of his sin. We see that in Luke 16:26. We don't have to turn over there, but when we see the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell, Lazarus is in heaven, and we see the rich man is in hell. There's a great goal fix. Abraham told that man, said, "Take," and the man asked Lazarus, or asked Abraham, "Send Lazarus to dip his finger in water and put a drop of water on my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." You know, people who don't believe in hell, you know what they say about that? Well, that's just a metaphor. That's convenient. Because you don't want to admit that's real. I was talking to someone recently and like, well, how do you deal with this? Took him right there to Luke 16. And I said, so you don't believe hell's real? Believe hell is on earth, you know? Hell is the oppression of the world we live in and the bad things that happen and the slavery and all. That's hell on earth. There is no literal hell. I said, well, how do you get around this when Jesus said this? Well, Jesus was speaking in a metaphor. I said, how do you get that out of it? Oh, that's just how we interpret that. Well, the Bible says that there's nothing of any private interpretation. Well, you can interpret that all you want, but Jesus said this, by the way, that is the description of an account. No other parable did Jesus use names. No other place did Jesus, you always would say the kingdom of heaven is likened unto. And he did not say that here. He gives names. He gives a description. And we never see Abraham in any of the other parables or anything like that. It's completely different. It was a description of something that either was happening at that moment or had happened in the recent past. And all for what purpose? It was for the Pharisees to hear, hey, it's not because of the direction you're going in. You're on your way to that place called hell. You're not on your way to Abraham's bosom like you think you are. The purpose was to show that it's real, it's a literal place. And because of that separation, God cannot be in the presence of sin. Hence, that's why the judgment in hell. When looking at God's holiness, we find that God takes his holiness seriously. God takes sin seriously. Oh, as Christians, that we would take sin seriously. Amen. That we would take things that offend the holiness of God seriously. It has become a common practice in our world today to offend the holiness of God in many different areas, whether it be in our speech, whether it be in our actions, whether it be in our colloquialisms, that we can offend the holiness of God. And we must make sure that it is something that is in our minds that, no, we must not. We must keep God high and lifted up. Yet we understand God is high and lifted up, yet he wants to be, Jesus is the friend to sinners. Amen. That's just unbelievable. And it's amazing, and it's a wonderful truth to grab a hold of, no matter, yes, God is high and lifted up, yet he understands, he knoweth that we are dust, he knoweth our frame, he knows that we are dust, he knows that, and he wants that relationship with us. It's just amazing, God is both these things. So how do we approach him? Should we want to know how to approach him? I think we should. We also see that God blesses those who take his holiness seriously in 1 Peter 1:15-16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Being sanctified and separated from sin, to abhor sin as he does, to be simple concerning evil and to be wise concerning that which is good. Oh, you know the problem is today, too many people are not simple concerning evil. Oh, that's a problem. Oh, guess what? Oh, curiosity killed the cat. Amen. That's how a lot of men get into pornography, curiosity. That's how a lot of families are destroyed, because of curiosity. Well, I need to know this. No, you don't. The devil says, you know, you just need to know so you know how to help people, right? So you know, you need to know what you're staying away from. No, you don't. God says, be simple concerning evil. You don't have to understand it to stay away from it. Amen. This brings us to the conclusion that if we know who God is, we know that how God views sin, we know God's holiness, then do you think there should be a proper or an improper way to approach God? Well, let's look at number two. Let's look at, is there a holy way to approach God, or is there a profane way? Well, we know from the scriptures that there is a truth to this. There is a holy way to approach God, and there is a profane way. Let's look at number two, the consequences of not approaching God properly. Turn to Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10. And whenever we approach God, now Leviticus chapter 10 is the account of Nadab and Abihu, Aaron's sons, who brought strange fire. So what does this mean, strange fire? We'll explain this in a moment, but let's read chapter 10 and verses 1 through 10. We look at the consequence of this. Now, I don't want us to take, now some people, you see this, and they'll say, oh, so if we don't approach God right, he's going to strike us dead. No, that's not the lesson we're trying to learn here. Well, the lesson we're trying to learn here is that God takes his holiness seriously. Verse 1, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of him his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them, here it is, not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh to me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. And Moses called Mishael and Elizaphan, the sons of Uziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said unto them, come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp. So they went near and carried them in their coats out of the camp, as Moses had said. And Moses said unto Aaron, unto Eleazar, and unto Ithamar, his sons, uncover not your heads, neither rend your clothes, lest ye die, and lest the wrath come upon all the people, but let your brethren and the whole house of Israel bewail the burning which the Lord hath kindled. And he shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, lest he die, for the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you. And they did according to the word of Moses. So what's going on here is Nadab and Abihu offered strange fire. What does this mean? Incense that was not accepted. What we learn from the Levitical law, we're not going to go through all of it, but this brings to the forefront that the incense was to be of a particular composition. In Exodus 30, verse 9, God says, ye shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burnt sacrifice, nor meat offering, neither shall ye pour drink offering thereon. This is the altar of incense. He said, ye shall offer no strange incense thereon. If you look at the history of worship, that incense is a very important part of that, especially in the worship of Jehovah. But also incense is used, if you know anything about Buddhism or Hinduism, different formulations of incense and pagan worship. So God is saying, I want you to formulate the incense that it's only for me. It's separated, sanctified incense for me. Do not offer incense. Don't improve upon my formula. Don't improve upon it. Don't offer me incense that other gods are offered. Offer this incense only to me. So I don't want any other incense other than this. Don't offer strange fire before me. Take my holiness seriously. Take my commands seriously. And you look at the Old Testament, God takes his commands very, very seriously. So Nadab and Abihu were willfully disobeying. They knew they weren't supposed to. This wasn't negligence. They willfully knew what they were doing was wrong. But they think God wouldn't care. Well, he did. He cared about his holiness. And we see that in Exodus, it's referred to as sweet incense. And that coals were taken of the brazen altar and used to burn the incense for the sanctuary. And this took place right after the dedication of the tabernacle. So this was a very holy thing. And God took the offense of this holiness very seriously. Now let's look later on. Verse 8, and the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. And that ye put difference between holy and unholy, and between clean and unclean. And that we may teach that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord hath spoken on them by the hand of Moses. So what's going on here? This is continuing on that statement where we left off. It is possible, we don't know for sure, but it is possible that Nadab and Abihu were drunk when they went in to do their worship. So they didn't mix the incense properly, or they did it willfully, because remember we talked about alcohol a few weeks ago. It makes you do things you would not normally do. It makes you be willful in areas you weren't usually be willful. It's possible. We don't know 100%. But also, Aaron is told, don't mourn for your sons. I can't imagine that as a parent. Said, you don't mourn for them unless you die also. To mourn them, said, oh, that God did something wrong here. We see that with Uzzah when he put his hand upon the Ark of the Covenant, and that David was upset that a breach had been put upon Uzzah, and that God maybe had done something unjust when David was the one who had not followed the instructions in the transportation of the Ark of the Covenant. Let's never take disobedience when a consequence happens for disobedience and say, well, that's not fair, when we've disobeyed the command of God. We have to understand that. God is holy. We don't know exactly what happened, but we do know that they willfully disobeyed. Some say today that God does not care about how we approach him, but the very specific instruction given in the law of Exodus and Leviticus shows us that God is very specific in regards to how to treat his holiness. I understand we're not under the law, but God didn't change from the Old Testament to the New. Now, this does not mean that we're to go and offer sacrifices, right, of the Old Testament. Christ completed the work on the cross. The old law has passed away. However, it does show us that God does care how we approach and worship him. Psalm 66, another example of approaching God is in Psalm 66, 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I said, well, you know, some people don't like that verse. I was like, well, that means God doesn't hear my prayers if I'm in sin. Well, it's not that God will not hear our prayers if the sin of our heart, iniquity, is not cleansed and forgiven. Some say that this is an improper application of this verse. Well, let's look at the verse preceding. Let's turn over there in Psalm 66. Let's turn over there. Let's look at verses 15 through 20. Psalm 66, 15 through 20. Let's look there at the verses preceding and the few verses after. Well, that's not what this verse is talking about. Well, let's see what the context is. Psalm 66. Now remember verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Let's look back at verse 15. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats. Selah. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. What, verse 13. I will go into thy house with thy burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered, and my mouth hath spoken when I was in trouble. What's going on? The burnt offerings mentioned here is the most prevalent and most significant sacrifice that was given to God. It was given for several different occasions and had several purposes. However, the most prevalent occasion was that of cleansing. This passage is giving clear direction how we're to approach God in prayer. We're to approach clean and cleansed. Not to come in the midst of our, Christian videos today, in that, you know, you see this guy, he's at the bar, you know, he's having a lot of trouble in his life, he's drinking himself into oblivion, and he staggers outside and says, God, if you're real, you know, reveal yourself to me, and then an angel shows up, right? Now, do I understand, is God in his mercy and grace, does he have the ability to do that? Yes. However, is God going to listen to the demands of a drunk person because he simply wills it? Absolutely not. So let's get that view out of our mind. Well, see, God doesn't really care. He understands. God's holy. God will hear the prayer of those who are cleansed of their profanity and uncleanness and are holy as he is holy. That's a very unpopular view. Us having to be clean to come to God. By the way, when we come to church, we ought to be clean. Amen. I understand we come and we learn things and maybe we realize that we're unclean in a certain area, that we need God's forgiveness and God's blessing. I understand that. But if you know there's things that are not going on in your life, that you know things are wrong, you know there's sin there, you better be clean before you come to church. Because if you don't, then you're not going to be able to give that praise like you need to. That praise is going to hit the ceiling and come right back down. Ever have that happen? That you're praising, you're singing the hymns, but it's empty? It's like a tin can? Because our heart isn't in the right place. Oh, that we would have our heart right. Now let's look at Acts 5, verses 1 through 11. Acts 5, let's look at Ananias and Sapphira. So, okay, well, that was all Old Testament, preacher. Well, let's look at the New Testament. Once again, is the lesson here that if we offend God's holiness, he's going to strike us dead? No, that's not the lesson here, is that he takes his holiness seriously. Acts 5, verses 1 through 11. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, and his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price and of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not in thine own? And while after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing those words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young man arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. And Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. So what happened? So at this time, there was a great persecution in Jerusalem of the Jews, of the Christians there. And there was many that were, they were giving their possessions, and they were giving them so that they could, we see Barnabas did that. He sold, he gave all that he had, and that they were giving so that the others that were persecuted could be supported, have food and place to stay and things like that. So it was a thing that a lot of people were doing. They were giving to the Lord, and it was a free offering, giving all that they had. So what they wanted was the notoriety of that they gave this much for the Lord. But what they did is they lied about what they gave. They said that they had sold it for this much, and they're giving it all to the Lord. But what was happening is they said that they had given it all to the Lord, but they hadn't. They had kept part back for themselves. You know, they tied to themselves a little bit. You know, hey, you know, we don't want to give all that. We want to make a little money out of this deal. But the problem is it wasn't that they had done that. The problem is that they were lying, saying they had given everything. And they hadn't. They had held back some for themselves. And so what happened, they were going around, they wanted to be, oh, we gave this much, and, you know, they were bragging about how much they gave. And then the Holy Spirit told Peter, they're lying. And it's not that you lied to men, you said that you're giving this as an offering to God, you lied to God about what you gave. Ooh, that we not lie to God about what we're giving, amen. Amen. All right, let's not do that. Because what happens here, lying to the man of God is the one thing, but also lying to the Holy Spirit, lying to others. Remember, God knows the heart. If you have iniquity in their heart, filled with selfish motives, they were looking for praise and the blessings in the name of serving God. They were killed for offending the holiness of God and giving him false worship for their own gain. Now, is anyone going to drop dead tonight or this morning if we lie to the Holy Spirit? No, only God knows. However, we see that God takes it very seriously once again. We cannot deny that. Have there been people who have been taken from this earth because of their disrespecting the holiness of God and blaspheming God? Yes, there have been. But let's look at the freedom and the proper approach to God. Let's look at how, we've looked at how not to approach God. I think that's important, but I think even more important is how we are to approach God. From seeing what we are not to do in regards to approaching God, we can see what we are to do. Well, what's the first thing? First, we need to approach God reverently. Isaiah 6, we see, we don't have to turn over there, but we see that God is high and lifted up. We've gone over this last several weeks. Isaiah says, I'm high and lifted up in his train. Filled the temple. What did Isaiah do? Oh, wow. No, he said he fell on his face. He said, I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. God is high and lofty, lifted up on high. We are low and sinful. He is high above us in every way, and we should never approach God presumptuously. We ought to approach God reverently. That's why it's important in our worship. We need to be reverent to God. Now, does that mean that we have to be dead as a doornail? No, but we can give real praise to God, but it needs to be reverence. And that's why I personally, it's not really a pastorism, but I believe that's why hooting and hollering, clapping and thumping your Bible is not reverent in the house of God. I understand, I'm glad you're excited, but we still have reverence in the house of God, towards God, because this isn't our house, this is God's house. And many times, what can also happen with that, yes, you maybe give it. I want to give a clap offering. I want to give this a particular offering to God. It can turn into self-promotion. And whoever can do it the loudest. And they hide. Many of the people that are amening the loudest or screaming the loudest or thumping their Bible the loudest are the ones that have the most sin. They don't want people to see. So it's a temptation to cover sin. Got to be careful about that. That doesn't mean we shouldn't say amen in the house of God. It's a biblical. They said amen. When they agreed with something, there's nothing wrong with that. However, making it a show is something else. Now, the second way we ought to come to God, let's look over at 2 Corinthians 7:1. We need to come clean. We need to be clean when we come to God. As clean as we know how to be is how I phrase it to people. There are things that God will reveal to us that we must confess to him. However, if we are to come to him and we know we have sin, we must deal with that sin and be clean. Just as when people would come to the temple to give their sacrifice, they must be clean ceremonially, and they would bathe themselves. They would be ready. They would prepare themselves to come and give that sacrifice. We must make sure we are there. When we look at the priesthood in the Old Testament, that they had to go through very elaborate cleansing rituals in order to come and do their work of service in the temple. Remember, we have that priesthood, the priesthood of all believers as Christians today. Christ bought that for us on the cross. We have priesthood, and we must make sure that when we come to God and we come to God in prayer, that we come clean. 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting what? Holiness in the fear of God. What's the fear of God mean? That we realize how high and lifted up he is. Reverence to God. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. When we understand who God is and understand our position and his position, then all the rest of the Bible falls into place. Wisdom begins. Wisdom doesn't begin when you get your bachelor's degree. Amen? Depending what school you come from, you're dumber than when you started. All right? We think education is wisdom. Not necessarily. You can be wise without education. That doesn't mean you shouldn't have education. Don't get me wrong there. Don't twist that around. Oh, but Pastor said I don't need to go to school. That's not what I said. However, well, that's not, knowledge and wisdom are not the same thing. Because you could have all kinds of knowledge. How many know a lot of smart people? You know, how many know somebody smart? You know some smart people, okay? All right, you know somebody, okay, put your hands down. I'm not going to ask you to raise the hand. Those same smart people you know, how many of them are dumb at living life? That's right? They don't have common sense worth anything. You know, they're really smart, but they can't make a decision. I mean, they just make bad decision after bad decision after bad decision. You need wisdom to make those decisions. Discernment. You can have knowledge, but not be able to discern your right hand from the left. That's what the Pharisees did. They had a lot of knowledge about God, a lot of knowledge about the Bible, but they can't tell the right hand from the left, Jesus said. That's wisdom. Oh, we need to be clean. We need to confess, depart from, abhor, so that you might be accepted. You know, Cain refused to be accepted of the Lord. He could have. God gave him a chance. He said, just do right. Get clean and do right. But he wouldn't. He said, behold, sin lies at the door. Wasn't God right? Oh, the sin of murder was at the door. Oh, and also the third. So first, we come reverently. Secondly, we must come clean. Third, boldly. Let's not let the holiness of God and the perfect, yes, it's the fear of the Lord, but let it say, oh, I am so undone. I am so weak and lowly. Actually, the devil can use this in your life. You are such a piece of dirt that you can't come to God. Oh, that you're such a piece of dirt that you can't be saved. God wouldn't want to save you. You're such a piece of dirt that you can't pray. You're such a piece of dirt that God wouldn't want to use you anyway. The devil loves to use that. It's not true. So that's the extreme we cannot go to. But because of what Christ did for us on the cross, because of the priesthood of the believer, because we are joint heirs with Christ, Hebrews is the book that talks about, Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And in 13:6 it says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do unto me. That's not someone who says, I'm such a piece of dirt, I'm hiding in the corner, and I can't even bring myself to pray. That's not what's being told here. But that we have a position with God because of Christ, and we have boldness to come. By the way, boldness is not presumptuous. There's a difference. Coming with confidence that God will accept us in his presence, that is different than being, well, God's going to accept me because of who I am. That's presumption. Instead of, I know who God is, I know what Christ has done for me, and I can come and approach the most holy, omnipotent God on bended knee and bring my request to him. That's what we're trying to be communicated. God's trying to tell us, you can come to me. I will hear you. I will listen because of my son. Don't ever think it's because of your holiness. It's not. It's of Christ's holiness. It's never because of our goodness. It's always because of Christ's goodness. That's how we're accepted in the beloved, is through Christ. We have freedom to approach God through Jesus Christ. We have the freedom to come and approach the most holy God with our requests. that we may say without hesitation, by the way, what a great statement to make, that God is our helper and provider. Amen. What a great confidence we can have. If we do not approach him as we ought to, then we will not be able to say that. If we're not worshiping God as we ought to, we won't be able to say that. Can we say that God is pleased with me and God is pleased with how I've acted? Understand, we're not perfect. I understand that God understands that too. But Job would not have been able to say that if he had charged God foolishly. God made it clear. He said, neither did he sin with his lips or charge God foolishly. He didn't sin. We look on later on in Job. Did Job get discouraged a little bit? Yes. Did Job not understand? Did Job say why? Yes, he did a little bit. But God gave an answer. And you know what? Job accepted that answer. Here it is. God doesn't necessarily mind us asking why. He gives us the answer. The problem is we don't like the answer he gives. That's where the issue comes in. Job accepted the answer that God gave him. Amen. He gave, but where were you, Job, when I was creating? Where were you, Job, when I was making the Leviathan? Can you control him like I can? Can you create like I can? Can you went down a whole list of things? Job, can you do that? Job said, no. I've been mistaken. And you know what? When God brings that to you, it's like, you know what? I really don't have a right to say why or ask why. God has his purposes. So how do you approach God? God is not our homeboy, as some say. God is not our buddy. God is our friend, but a most holy and most high friend. Do you approach the most holy God as just that, most holy? Are you holy as he is holy? That's a great question. Is your heart holy in all that you think and do? Do you selfishly and deceitfully approach the throne of God as Ananias and Sapphira tried to? Let us examine that this morning. Have I where I need to be? Has my view of God been brought lower? By the way, we constantly have to renew our view of God, renew his majesty, renew his proper place, because our minds and the flesh will constantly try to bring him down. Yet he who is high and holy wants a close relationship with us, desires to provide for us, desires to protect us, desires everything good for us. How amazing is that? Take that away from this morning. Yes, God is holy, not that, and that he is high and holy. Yet, what do we hear from Jesus? A God who is high and holy, yet Jesus is not one who cannot be touched with our infirmities, that Jesus knows our infirmities, knows our struggles, and he makes intercession for us. Amen. Just an amazing picture when you look at it all together. Let's make sure that we have the proper view of God and that we approach our God in a most holy way. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless our time together in your word. And as we come to invitation, Lord, oh, that we would approach you as our holy God. Oh, Lord, forgive us for offending your holiness. Lord, we are flesh and we are bone, but also we are spirit. And I pray that we walk in the spirit as we ought to. There are times that we don't. Forgive us for that. We know that you want to cleanse. You know you want to forgive. But Lord, I pray that we not presume upon your grace and presume upon your mercy, but that we would, yes, take advantage of it when it is given. For Lord, we need it, for we are fallible, we do fail. But Lord, I pray that we not plan to fail so that we can take advantage of a free gift that you give. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to walk worthy of the vocation we are called. And what is that vocation? We know, Lord, from your word this morning, to be holy. Help us, Lord, to be holy as you are holy. And we know we cannot be unless you empower us to do so. We pray your blessing this morning. Help us to be clean and right. In Jesus' name, amen.